that you are the way maker, that you are the promise keeper, that you are who you say you are, God. We thank you for that. We thank you that you make a way for us when we can't make a way on our own. We thank you that at the end of ourselves is the beginning of you, and that your promise rings true all throughout history, all throughout your word. Your promise rings true, Lord. We claim that promise here this morning, God. We're so thankful that you saw fit to initiate relationship with us before we ever believed in you, before we ever loved you, before we ever trusted you, God, that you sent your Son so that we could know you and that you made that way in the darkness for us. Lord, we love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, can we give it up for our worship team, guys? So what you guys wouldn't know is that our worship team was supposed to be a little bit fuller here this morning, and Ian, who is guitar and vocals, and he had a kind of a medical emergency this morning. He's okay, but they had to be super flexible and change some things on the fly, and I'm very thankful for that. So thank you, worship team, for being flexible. Thank you for being willing. You guys did an amazing job. How great thou art, man. That was just amazing. So I'm just proud of this team that is being built up here, even though there was only a few of them this morning, but I'm just so thankful for them. So before I pass things over to Jesse, what I wanted to do is I wanted to share a couple of things that we've been working on here at the church. We have updated our mission statement, we've updated our vision statement, and we've actually established a list of core values here. We're going to have this available to you guys as a handout so that you can know. Like, if somebody were to ask you, what is SBC all about, our mission statement is this: SBC exists to empower faith, to build community, and to show people the love of Jesus. That's why we're here, right? What does it mean to empower faith? That means that we create a space for you to strengthen your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not something that me as the pastor, I can't do that for you, but what we can do as a church is we can create that space where you can feel comfortable coming to know Jesus and strengthening your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why SBC is here, to empower faith, to build community. What does that mean? You guys have probably gotten tired of hearing me talk about community, but it is so important that we build community. The body of Christ, that's what it is. The body of Christ is a community of believers that come together to strengthen one another and to show people the love of Jesus, which is that last part, right? That's what everything is founded on, that we would show people the love of Jesus, that we would be a light to our community, and that we would love people, even the people that we disagree with. Yeah, even those ones. So, what's our vision? Where do we want to go? Our vision is to inspire hope, build a united community, and embody the love of Jesus in all we do. That's where we're heading. This is how we're going to do it, and this is where we want to go. We want to inspire hope to people through Jesus Christ. We want to build a united community of Christ followers, and we want to do it with through showing people the love of Jesus in every single thing we do. So that's the common theme, right? The love of Jesus, because that's why we're here. We're at church. We're here. We have a relationship with Christ because of his love for us first. Our core values here, I know it's a little bit small, flexibility, accountability, integrity, truth, and honor. And it's even a cool little acronym that spells faith. So that's kind of cool, right? So there's some Bible verses there that you can kind of look at as to why these are our core values. So again, we're going to have this handout for you. I don't think we have it yet today, but I think next week we're going to have a handout for you so that you can take this and that you can have this. And I would love for people to start really knowing what our mission statement is. So I might even, at some point, might even come up here on a Sunday morning and ask you guys to say it with me, right? For those of you who work with me at CHM, there's a few of us here. We do these things called catechisms where we talk about our ministry-wide vision and mission and core values and all these things. And I might even make y'all do that. So sorry. So what's the point? The point is I just wanted to share this with you guys because we've updated this. This is why we exist. This is how we're going to do what we're going to do, and this is where we want to go. We want you guys to know what we're doing here as a church, right? It's not just show up on Sunday and go home and be done for the week. These are the things that we want to do, and we want to show the love of Jesus Christ to our community. We want to see people come to know Christ, and we want to do it through the love of Jesus. That's why we're here. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to invite Jesse up to the stage. If you guys can give Jesse a big SBC welcome. So So I asked Jesse for a bio, and she's like, well, I'm pretty much going to say all that in my message, so I don't have a ton of information to give about her, but I am going to say this. When I very first stepped in as pastor of SBC, Jesse reached out to me, and she heads a ministry, like I said, called Moms on Target, and she said she felt like that ministry was supposed to be here in the community that she lives in and that she's part of. I think it was in Talmadge before, and she said, I really feel like it's supposed to be here, and this, I think this was the first decision that I was able to be part of as pastor, was to partner with Moms on Target and give them a space. They do so many amazing things for the community. They have so many opportunities for moms to come together, and anybody who's a mom in this place, you know that you need that community of moms, right? It's not easy being a mom. So they create that space. They have play groups. They have all kinds of super cool things, and I'm going to let her tell you guys about that, but we are just so honored and so blessed to be able to be part of Moms on Target, because we believe what they do. We believe in what they do, and we believe in Jesse and her obedience to God to build that thing. So one more time, give it up for Jesse, and I'm going to turn it over to her. I'll get your thing here.
Thank you so much. I just need to breathe for just a second, just a breath. Thank you, Pastor Ronnie. No, I'll choke or something. Okay. This is not what I do. Okay, I'm really good at one-on-ones. If you ever gotten to have a conversation with me, then you're gonna know this is not the real me. This is panic me. But I really do believe that God has given me something important to share with you, and I'm just trying to have a little bit of courage in sharing it and being obedient to that. I know that Pastor Ronnie already prayed twice, but I need some peace, so I'm also gonna pray, if you'll just pray with me. Heavenly Father, you're so good. You're so good. And all of my life, you've been so good and faithful to me. And I'm so sorry for the years that I didn't recognize it. I'm grateful that you never gave up on me, that you never stopped reaching for me, that you never stopped calling others to step into my circumstances, my brokenness, and offer me a glimpse of your love and affection for me. I pray that those who were obedient to you and loving me will have the opportunity to witness the fruits of that and know that they mattered and made a difference. Lord, give me the courage that I need today to be vulnerable and share some of that brokenness again in the hopes of inspiring people to seize the opportunities that you create for them to love others. I pray that you'll give my church family the ears to hear you and my story more than they hear me, eyes to see how you worked in and through my life, and the conviction and courage to respond to what they hear today in a way that will glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now I can breathe. It's amazing how quick that works, okay? Some things are quick fixes. A quick prayer and some time with God will give you just enough peace to step forward. All right, so I wrote things out. This is accountability, because I could end up here all day, and my husband's favorite thing about this church is they were always home in time for lunch. I don't want to mess that up for you. So I have some notes here. I'll keep looking at them. I might go off track a little bit. I already warned Pastor Ronnie. I ended this with a dot, 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 because I really genuinely want to leave room for God to speak if he will. I get a lot of doubt myself. All week, the enemy has just been at me. Like, you have nothing new to say. People don't want to hear this. You should be ashamed. That's the biggest one. And I just keep remembering, I got to hear this at a women's conference a couple years ago, and it really stuck with me, that unlike God, our creator, the enemy is not creative. He'll use the exact same things over and over and over to trap you and to trip you up. And for me, that has always been and will probably always be shame. This little lie in the back of my head that says you're no good and you have nothing to offer people. And so I'm trying to remember that I'm here in the house of my creator, who always has something new to say, and trying to just ignore those lies. So I want to share a little bit with you today about the nonprofit and the mission that I founded called Moms on Target. But before I describe all the ways that we seek to love and serve vulnerable families in our community, I want to share with you a little bit about my own life, my own family, and how it led me to launching the ministry that is Moms on Target today. When my mom had me, she was 35 years old. That used to sound really old to me, but here I am about to have my 35th birthday in a few weeks, and suddenly that does not seem old at all. Okay, so, but my mom was already on her fourth marriage, and she had two teenagers already. She did not want more children, and that has always been made very clear to me. My dad was an addict, and she really believed that giving him a child would cure his addiction and inspire him to turn his life around and be the husband and partner that she wanted him to be. That plan did not work, and just a few months after I was born, she was surprised to find herself pregnant again with my little brother, Ian. And it was maybe 2 years later that my parents finally divorced and my father became mostly absent from my life. My mother, again, was a single mom, now with four children to raise on her own. If we wanted to rewind, which we often do, and find something to point out that says this is where it all went wrong, this was the first trauma in someone's life, you could point to this: arriving here unwanted by my own mother. That reality was my reality throughout life, and every decision that my mother made going forward carried the resentment that she felt at having two more children that she never wanted to have and being responsible for them on her own with no help. There are many women in this position who early on decide to terminate life. I'd venture to guess that most of us here would be heartbroken by that decision and would applaud my mom for choosing life for me and my brother instead. And I want you to just hold on to that for a minute. According to the state of Ohio, from birth through my 17th birthday, there were near constant reports of neglect and abuse made to Children's Services on my behalf. Some by teachers, some by doctors, neighbors, or even friends of my parents. And ironically, I'm not allowed to see the details of all those reports myself when I request to, but I can venture to guess what most of them said. We lived in constant filth. It's always hard for me to paint the picture of this one because it really was just so extreme. I think it's hard for people to imagine. But to give you an idea, a urine-soaked mattress with no sheet on it because I wet the bed too much and lost the privilege of having bedding. Clothes that went unwashed for months at a time, floors covered in animal waste and cigarette butts. Sometimes we had no heat, other times no water. If I ever questioned my mom about the way that things were or the things I didn't have, she would get very upset and make me feel like I was ungrateful and didn't understand how hard things were for her. I learned through this that it wasn't okay to tell people what we didn't have or let them know that I needed or wanted something because that was me being rude or ungrateful. Around 2 years old, I was hospitalized for non-organic failure to thrive. I have a picture for that, I think. I'm gonna keep saying that. I didn't know the code word that everybody else up here uses to make magic things appear up here. So I'm giving notes. So that was me in the hospital. I was about two here. Unorganic failure to thrive mostly means that I was extremely malnourished, underweight, and not meeting appropriate milestones. Extreme neglect can result in this. And I wanted to be really clear to clarify that, because if you've heard of someone with failure to thrive, don't assume that they're being neglected. There are two different kinds of this. Sometimes things just happen. But in my case, it was related to neglect. So this hospitalization resulted in a series of reports to CPS. One of my earliest memories is being scolded for going on the front porch because my mom didn't want neighbors to see me, and my older sister using someone else's medicine drops in my ears when I had an ear infection because she said my mom would get in trouble if she took me to the doctor. I didn't understand so many things like this when I was a small child, but putting the pieces together, I realized that my mom was intentionally hiding us from people. We changed schools 18 times before I was a freshman in high school. It wasn't until adulthood that I realized my mom was most likely very strategically hopping in and out of counties to avoid staying on Children's Services radar. It was more obvious when we were really young and we showed up to school dirty, hungry, bruised, to recognize that we were children in need of help. But as we got older, my mother had us better trained to lie for her, even if we didn't totally understand that that's what we were doing, and protect her from detection. There are people now who say, "I wish I had known you needed help. I wish that you had told me." And I know that they would have helped me. But you have to try to understand that when I was in it, one, I didn't recognize that what I was living in wasn't normal. That was normal to me. I also really thought that I deserved it. So it wasn't like, you know, if you have kids and you're a healthy parent and they come and say someone was mean to me, somebody hurt me, that's a normal thing to do. But when you are a kid who's been trained to think you deserve it, you don't tell people because it's just what you deserved. And the other thing is that I really loved my mom. I really loved my mom, and I didn't want her to be in trouble, and I didn't want her to be angry, and I didn't want her to be bad. I didn't want people to think that my mom was bad. For a long time, after coming to understand that the way that we lived at home wasn't the way most kids were living, I felt hopeless, invisible, completely unseen and unloved. But there were people who did see me, and that's who I really want to talk to you about today, more than I wanted to talk about myself. But I had to give you just a little bit of a picture of what these people were walking into. So, when I was about 8, which is the age my daughter Hannah is now, she just got baptized a few weeks ago. Praise the Lord. We lived next door to a couple that we affectionately called Yaya and Poppy, because that's what their granddaughter called them, and I didn't know their real names. We lived 2 doors down, and in this neighborhood, we were really well known as no good. So no one else in the neighborhood was allowed to play with us. We definitely weren't invited in. My brother and I pretty much ran the neighborhood totally unsupervised. We were just like feral children out there. But Yaya and Poppy were different. They invited us in nearly every day, and sometimes lunch or dinner with them was the only meal that I had. And they never made me feel, I thought with notes I was not going to get this emotional. They really made me feel like it wasn't some giant thing that they were doing for us and that we should be so grateful. They acted like having us there was such a gift to them. Sitting around their table, I experienced someone praying for me for the first time. Short and simple, the prayer that I remember is, thank you for this food and thank God for you. And they would point directly at us. I can't tell you that it was way back then that I accepted God into my heart and life, because I didn't. But looking back, I recognize it as one of the most impactful things someone who followed him ever did in my life, and I never forgot it. Fast forward to high school, and I'm skipping a lot because I don't have time to give you a full rundown, but there are other places you can listen to the fuller version of my story. I would never get to tell you about Moms on Target if I took the time to do that, but I'm always happy to share if anybody ever wanted to hear more. But I'm going to fast forward to high school, and I made friends with someone that may look familiar to many of you. Here. I was a new kid at Springfield High School when I moved here halfway through my freshman year and made a real friend, Ashley Mason. She and I clicked almost right away. I say almost because she thought I was mean at first, because I was a scared little kid that had like a resting mean face, we'll say. And it took a little while to break in, but then once she did, we were best friends quickly. And I quickly and repeatedly got invited into her home and her family. I would tell my mom that we had homework to do together and spend any weekday evening I could at their house, where Donna Mason spoiled me with my favorite meals for dinner and always let me know there were plenty of snacks in the back room that I could always help myself to. Donna invited me into their normal everyday moments too, decorating Christmas cookies, just watching TV, just being welcome in a space that felt peaceful and not being made to feel in the way. I was intimidated by Mr. Rich, which he hates that I still call him Mr. Rich, but you can't undo it, you know, once it's there. Because I was afraid of men in general. My mom only brought home mean men, but I admired him from afar as I grew more and more fascinated by a dad who worked so hard to take care of his family, but then also did his family's laundry and prayed with them at the dinner table where they all sat together, and always found the time to serve however he was needed in their church too. There were a lot of things I envied about Ashley and her life, but having parents like she had, I envied that most of all. I wish that I could tell you that my life had more good in it than bad, but it didn't. And it didn't have more people who helped than those who hurt me either. In high school, I experienced what felt to me like the traumatic event that there could be no recovery from. I guess you could say it was just the last straw for me. I had arrived at a place in life where I knew quite well what others had that I didn't, and I had no hope that things were ever going to be better for me. I made 2 very real attempts to take my own life in a matter of months. There was a nurse that I met in the pediatric psych ward after the second attempt who said some really impactful things to me, including, God isn't done with you yet. But that didn't give me hope like you might think. I really thought that God was punishing me. I believed that I was bad at my core and would never be good. At 21, I got pregnant with my son Abel. My husband Paul had been my high school crush. It really was love at first sight for me. It took him a little 8 years to pull me out of the friend zone. But I got him. When I found out that I was pregnant, I was truly terrified. I had been sure that I would never get married or have kids. Paul asked me to marry him, and though I expressed that I was worried he would regret it and that it was for all the wrong reasons, we got married a few months later. And then I have a picture. Oh, there. Let's see. They're magic. I just look like a baby there. It's crazy. I was a baby there. When I got pregnant with my son, my husband was in the Army, stationed at Fort Drummond, New York, and he had to share the news with his parents over the phone. And then I was invited by phone to go to their home for dinner and meet them, because I'd only met his mom briefly once before. I was mortified. I knew that his family was religious. I could only imagine, and boy, did I imagine it all night instead of sleeping for weeks, the things his family must think of me. This no good girl that had trapped their son and would drag him down the path of going nowhere fast. Except I met his mom, and instead, she loved me. From the moment that Brenda opened her door to greet me, she was warmth like I'd never known before. She invited me to church. She told me constantly that she was praying for me. She went with me to ultrasounds and bought baby clothes and celebrated me like I had never experienced in my life. She said every baby is a blessing, and she really meant it. She was such a safe person that I started calling her with every question I had about being a mom, a wife, a homemaker. I was so afraid. I was so afraid to be a mom. I was sure that I'd be just like my own mom, and I couldn't bear the thought of my son ever feeling for one moment that he was unwanted or unloved. And I shared this fear with my mother-in-law, and she, of course, told me, pray about it. So when Abel was born, the first prayer that I prayed over him is one I've prayed thousands of times since over all of my babies. If you're a part of Moms on Target, I've shared this prayer with you because I think everybody should pray it over their babies. I said, Lord, please parent through me. Protect Abel from my mistakes, and please never, ever let him doubt how loved and wanted he is. And it was that simple, and I prayed it for him every day. Even when I didn't believe it, even when I wasn't sure that anybody could hear me. That's why I'm such a proponent of fake it till you make it. You know, sometimes if you're obedient just in your act, just in trying to talk to someone you don't even know is there, I promise that he will respond. I promise. And I was baptized when Abel was just a few months old. In the years that followed, I was determined to grow and learn constantly about God and about how to be a good mom. I surrounded myself with women that I wanted to be like. Even when I didn't know if I believed everything that they did, I soaked in everything they had to say. I was so lucky to have women who invited me in over and over again for coffee, for play dates, for birthday parties, all invitations that led to real-life organic discipleship. I knew that I could trust what these women told me and showed me because they felt safe the same way that Yaya and Poppy and the Masons had felt safe. When you meet someone who is genuinely living to glorify God, they're just different. There's something in them that makes them safe, and maybe being a wounded and desperate child who was exposed to so many unsafe people is why I could see that in them. I don't know. Some people seem to miss it. Some people are out here like, I don't know. I know. If I meet you, I know. I know right away. But I knew I had this kind of collection of examples of people who'd been doing it right, and that's what I was looking for, and that's what I was trying to become. I started Moms on Target as a small group in 2020, and I was trying to sort of recreate my own experience within it, just creating opportunities for women to find connection, community, encouragement, and some organic discipleship in their motherhood. There was a part of me that was trying to go back in time and help my mom, because I spent so much of my own motherhood wondering how different my own life would have been if someone had tried to help my mom instead of just me. I was looking at my own babies. At this point, I had Hannah too, and I could see the generational impact that women like my mother-in-law and others in my life were making by investing in and loving me. My kids got a better version of me thanks to them. The entire trajectory of my life and the lives of my children had been changed by their acts of obedience. Now, I'm not saying that any of these people are perfect. In fact, they're far from it. These are just normal people living normal lives. None of them did anything extravagant or huge. I don't think any of them even realized in the moments that they were making such an impact on my life at all. That's what's so incredible about it, though. They were simply being obedient in a moment. When everyone else was turning away from my brokenness, they invited me in. When others were judging me, they were feeding me. When I was hard to love, they loved me even harder. So that brings you mostly up to date. I skipped a lot. You don't want to hear it all anyways. But my husband Paul and I will be married 13 years this July. We now have 4 children. Abel's 12, Hannah's 8, Haven is turning 3 on Tuesday, and our sweet baby Joanna is 6 months old. Obviously, I love being a mom. I'm able to receive, oh, that's my family. Okay, so Paul looks a lot older, but I look exactly the same, right? My husband Paul up there, baby Joanna, Abel, and then all the way to the right, that's my mother-in-law, Brenda. And then the little blonde in front of me, she's not mine, even though she looks like she could be. That's my niece, Kensley, Hannah, and Haven. I mean, look at my family. You know. Like, only God can do that. Okay, I lost all track. Man, I got emotional. Okay. I love being a mom. That's where I was at. I love being a mom. Okay. I'm able to receive the joy that I really believe that God intended for us all to find in motherhood, and I'm more passionate than ever about helping other women find the same. So everything I shared with you up to this point is because I'm hoping, praying desperately, to inspire you to see beyond the brokenness in people and to even invite their brokenness into your own life so that you can make a generational impact on others. So what is Moms on Target? Well, we have a vision and mission statement too. I love those, Pastor Ronnie. Okay, our mission and vision statements say, we exist to come alongside women in their ministry of motherhood, offering opportunities for community, connection, education, encouragement, and discipleship. We believe that happy, healthy, safe children are the product of happy, healthy, supported moms, and we aim to make a generational impact in our community by loving vulnerable mothers and their families. I heard a really awesome metaphor. This is the first time in this whole thing I'm going to try not looking at my page. I just leave myself a little clue here. Let's hope I get it right. I heard a really awesome metaphor at an event I went to a year ago that explained in the child welfare system or services world, you have to imagine that like you and your friends are sitting by a river and suddenly you notice there's kids in the river drowning. There's going to be 3 sets of people, okay? There's going to be the person that jumps into the river and starts rescuing kids in the middle of their trauma, okay? There's going to be someone who sets up a tent and says, we're going to try to fix everything that got hurt when they fell in the river. And then there's going to be somebody that says, we should probably go upriver and figure out why kids are falling in. Okay? That's what I'm trying to do at Moms on Target, is that I'm not crisis intervention. That's foster families, social workers, therapists. Those are people who are like in the middle of the ugly, and thank God for them. And then there's people like pastors, therapists, volunteers, mentors who are trying to repair the damage that was done when a child faces brokenness. But somebody has to figure out why these kids are falling in the river. And for some reason, this is like the step in the process people don't see or don't understand as much. So they think that we're just a group of moms sitting around drinking coffee and nothing significant is happening there. But I'm telling you that it's kingdom work. I'm telling you that lives are being changed by just creating a safe place for women to come together and say, I don't know what I'm doing, and I need help. So my hope is that Moms on Target is the crew running upstream. That's what we're doing. It started as a small group in a church, another church that I attended, and we left that church in 2022 where when I launched Moms on Target as an official nonprofit and got approved as a public charity, we'd outgrown being just a small group. I wanted to be able to have a variety of programming that would meet women where they are in different seasons and circumstances. And it was really important to me, actually, that we be separated from a single church because I wanted women who might never feel comfortable attending church to know that we were a safe place. We never hide the fact that discipleship is part of our mission. We pray over the moms in our programming, and we extend invitations to any local church that has an event, as long as it's free, going on that we might think they would like. That being said, you may have noticed a few new faces around here in the past year. And I have to say that I believe it's because by being open to Moms on Target, meeting here, you've automatically become a safe place. So that when moms are interested in digging a little deeper and getting a little more intentionally connected, this is where they accept the invitation first. I know that those back few rows get a little noisy with our collection of nursery-resistant toddlers, but this is kingdom work. And you've been a part of it without even knowing it. Now I want you to know, and I want to share more about what we're doing. So here's a little bit of our program rundown. We have Better Mama Meetup that meets once a month. We always meet on Thursdays. So on the first Thursday of the month is Better Mama Meetup, and this is our program that's for any mom in any season, under any circumstances, who just wants to connect, and we always have a topic of education, everything from nutrition to dental hygiene to car seat safety or school choices. We create a topic of education, and sometimes we'll have speakers come in and share. That's Better Mama. Then we have the second week of the month, we have our Single Mom Meetup. And that's one that I want to highlight a little more carefully here because I did a little digging because I know y'all like the Bible, right? Okay. Well, in the Bible, in the New Testament, the word that is used, the Hebrew word that's used for widow and all of those things you hear about how we're supposed to love on widows, it doesn't say that it means a woman who's separated from her husband with death. It means a woman who's been cut off, abandoned, or deprived. We're repeatedly told that we're responsible for caring for them, and I'm here to tell you that single moms are our modern-day widows, and you are responsible for caring for them. A few examples that we'll see in that is 1 Timothy 5:3 through 16. We hear Paul's instructions on how to care for widows, including prioritizing those who are truly in need. In James 1:27, we see visiting widows in their afflictions considered a pure and undefiled religion before God. In Acts 6:1, Paul charge that widows should be cared for, especially those who are poor and without support. So just every time you see the word widow when you're doing your Bible study, just replace that with abandoned, deprived, cut off. So each of these programs reaches women in a different season or circumstances, and our single mom places some special attention on how desperately these women need people to form community around them to fill the gaps that are left when they are abandoned and when, in most cases, I won't say all, but in most cases, a father is absent almost completely from their children's lives. As a church, that's our place to step in and fill all of those gaps. And so we offer them every obstacle they might face to coming to programs we're trying to remove. So we provide dinner so that these moms who are mostly working don't have to worry about going home and picking kids up from school and making dinner. They just grab their kids and come straight over. We provide a meal for them. We provide childcare for that and for Better Mama Meetup. And so they get to be just loved on and supported every single month. It's a really special one. Our single mom meetup. I think I shared a couple. Okay. So that's our Better Mama meetup. But that's about what it looks like with our single moms, too. I think we're averaging, with moms and kids included, we're well into the high 20s now each time. So it's just been amazing to see it grow. And then we have Baby Mama meetup. And so that's where I probably would have shown up if it had existed when I got pregnant with Abel. And that's for moms specifically who are pregnant or in their first 2 years postpartum, which is just such a vulnerable season of life. And women can find themselves especially isolated with a new baby. And so that one's really special to me. They're all special. I can't tell you that one's more important. They're all special. And then, of course, we have our Play Squad, and you've probably seen our Play Squad, or maybe that was what you were more aware of us doing, and that happens in the gym twice a month, and it's complete and utter chaos, okay? This is just crazy children running around. This was our Valentine's Day party. We had to put a max on the number of people because last year we had over 80 people at our Valentine's Day play group, so we put a limit on it to just our regulars this time, and we still had over 50. So it's crazy, but it's incredible. So these are mostly moms who are either homeschooling or have kids who aren't yet in school age, although we take the opportunity every time we can to schedule these on a day when the public schools don't have school so that they can join us as well. And we're hoping to add in a play group that'll happen either on a weekend or evening where moms who are working can participate too. So just a lot. We're doing so many great things, and I just love all of it. So each of these programs reaches women in a different season or circumstance, but the one thing that every mom has in common, there's one thing, I don't know what I wrote here. Hold on, let me check myself. One thing every mom has in common, the work and the need for support goes far beyond 9 months. So This is where I have to bring just a touch of conviction, church. And I hope you'll forgive me when I do. And you don't have to agree with me even, but I'm going to say it anyways. If we say that we value life and we want it to be protected, we have to value the whole life and the mother that carries it, not for 9 months, but for an entire lifetime. We're so lucky to have so many local organizations that serve pregnant women and encourage them to choose life. Thank God for them. They're doing amazing work, but please never forget what choosing life for me became. It became a lifetime of neglect and abuse, and without intervention, my children's lives could have looked much the same. There are women right here in Akron coming to us by the dozen saying that they need help to be better. They want to learn, they want to grow, but also they just want to be seen and known and loved themselves too. I'm not at all suggesting that all of the women who come to us are unsafe in the way that my mom was. They're not. The sad truth is, as much as my heart for this was in wishing my mom had community like this herself, I know that it's unlikely that my mom would have ever shown up in these spaces that I'm creating. The women who show up to us are already better moms than she was because they're showing up. We've been meeting in the space downstairs and in the gym at our play squads for over a year now, and it's been such a blessing to have a home base that these moms know and feel safe in. And I want to say not just the moms, but there's a couple classrooms down there that have also been donated for our use or that we've been allowed to use. And the kids being able to go to the same place every time they're here, that makes a huge difference too. We could do a whole session on being trauma-informed, but a lot of our kids, especially in our single mom group, a lot of our kids have already been in and out of the system themselves. And having just one safe place and people that are serving regularly, that they're always seeing, it's healing them. It's healing these families. This is where I had dot, dot, dot. I should have written a better closing, but I do want to say, you saw in the announcements on your thing, or you will if you look at it and didn't already, that there's a spring fling coming up in April that we are co-hosting with SBC. I'd love to encourage you, if you thought this event wasn't for you because you don't have young kids who want to get out there and dance with everybody, please reconsider that. If you're like, this is a family event, I have grown kids, I have grandkids, this isn't for me, please come, because we're inviting every mom that's involved in our programming. They're really excited about it, and you have a real opportunity to love on them and show them that this is a safe place for them to come back to. And so I would just love if you see things like that, that we're co-hosting, that you would take the initiative to just show up and be present with them. If I can't convince you to find a way to get involved with us at Moms on Target, because there's lots of ways you can, and we can talk about it privately, I won't put you all on the spot right now, but you should consider it. But if you can't get involved with Moms on Target specifically, let me just ask you to look for the opportunities in your everyday life, because maybe you see that kid in the neighborhood. Maybe your kid goes to school with the kid that nobody's allowed to play with because they're bad, okay? There are no bad kids. There's hurt kids. There's broken kids, and they need somebody like you. So be bold and invite them in and see how you can help. Notice a child that needs help, also maybe try to help their mom too. So that's my nod.
All right. Hey, thank can we guys. Give it up for Jesse, please? Yeah, thank you so much. And you know, I'm not a crier, guys, but I was like, I'm back here like holding back tears. I'm like, is my buddy Cordell, who's my homeboy, is he seeing me cry? Is he gonna think I'm a wimp or something? Like, seriously. And it's not just so much like, you know, obviously that's a touching story and that's such an encouraging thing at the same time, but I heard the word community and healing, and I heard so many of these words that's what the church is, right? And for us as Springfield Baptist Church to be able to be part of what is happening with Moms on Target is such an amazing blessing. And I'm going to tie this back, because we talk about giving all the time. This doesn't happen without giving. Like, we can't create spaces for people like Moms on Target to use without you guys giving. Like, you guys are doing that. Like, you guys, SBC, Springfield Baptist Church, right here, you guys are doing this. You're part of it. Because when you give, it gives us the opportunity to serve them. And I'm not just talking about even necessarily monetarily or whatever. Anytime you're serving at this church, it gives us the opportunity to then serve them. So I'm just so thankful. I'm so grateful that Jesse was willing to, you know, she's like, this isn't my comfort zone, but you did an amazing job. It's like, man, I might ask you to do this next Sunday. I'm just kidding. I'm not. But I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful that you guys support us and that we are able to support Moms on Target. So again, let me remind you, we're getting ready to close out here. Next week, we're going to do communion, and we're actually going to take our deacon's offering, and we're going to donate that entire deacon's offering to Moms on Target so that we can bless them, okay? So that we can be even more so. I want to serve this ministry as much as we can. All of our missions are important to us, all of them, full stop. I love Moms on Target, and I love the fact that it's local and it's reaching out to people here in Springfield and Akron and surrounding areas, and Jesse's heart for families is just so amazing, and I'm just so blessed by it. So with that, I'm going to ask you guys to stand, and we're going to pray. Next week, we're starting a brand new sermon series. We're going to be diving into the book of Jonah for 4 weeks. It's going to be a great time. So come back next weekend, and we'll go through, we'll start Jonah. It's going to be an amazing, amazing series. I promise, as long as I don't mess it up, because God's got some really cool things to say, okay? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for Jessie. We thank you for her heart. We thank you that Moms on Target is making an impact in this community and surrounding communities, Lord. We thank you for who you are. God, we just we pray over this entire church. We pray over our entire community. We pray over the missions that we support, all of them, and especially we pray over today, Moms on Target, Lord, that you would continue to work through that and that you would continue to bless people through that mission. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you that you sent your son so that we could live, God. Lord, we just pray that as we go from this place today, Lord, that you would work through the hearts and minds, through the words that you gave Jesse to speak, that something would be planted here and that we would take action where it's needed. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you.